Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Congressman Anthony Weiner of Brooklyn and Queens is in our studio to be our first guest for this week. But before we talk to him live, I want to play 1 minute of Congressman Weiner on the House floor last week and the limits of free speech in the United States Congress revealed. This speaks for itself. Listen closely.
You know, you got a lot of these Republicans. I mean, you guys have chutzpah. The Republican Party is a wholly owned subsidiary of an insurance industry. That's the fact. They say that, well, this isn't going to be enough, but when we propose an alternative to provide competition, they're against it. They say that, well, we want to strengthen state insurance commissioners and they'll do the job. But when we did that in our national health care bill, they said, we're against it. They said they want to have competition, and when we proposed requiring competition, the Republicans are against it. They are a wholly owned subsidiary of the insurance industry. That's the fact.
And now they stand up and say that... Mr. Speaker, I ask the gentleman's words be taken down.
Oh. You really don't want to go here, Mr. Lundgren.
The gentleman will suspend. Gentleman from New York will please take a seat.
And with that, we welcome Congressman Anthony Weiner back to WNYC. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Brian.
So what happened there? You can't state a political opinion like that in a floor debate in Congress without having the words stricken from the record?
No. In fact, the parliamentarian would have ruled in my favor. What has to happen, it's a lengthy process where the words get read back, and then the chair has to rule whether indeed this violated the rules of the House. I short-circuited that process, which is customary to try to pull back your words and try it again in a way that's less charged. But frankly, that since I didn't impugn any individual member, it would have been ruled in my favor. But you know, the point was, and I heard them. You can only hear the mumbling in the audio. It's interesting hearing them. They're so outraged by it. But you know, it's not like a court of law. If I just had to prove that it was true, I would have been out in the clear without any problem.
Well, how literally did you mean that? I mean, Republicans were offended, I guess, because they believe they have honest differences with you over the role of government and its effectiveness in health care.
Well, I meant it in that there are really three reasons why the Republicans are doing nothing to help here. One is they fundamentally, as a party, as an organ, believe in doing what they can to preserve the status quo, preserve people who are doing well. That's who they advocate for. So to some degree, they advocate for the status quo. But they also are undoubtedly also advocating for the health insurance industry here, not changing the way it's structured now, the employer-based model that has had winners and losers, and the winners are the health insurance industry. But there is, of course, the third element, that they just don't want the president to be a success, and so they're against helping on health care. But there is no doubt what I said is true. I mean, the Republican Party, they are in there pitching for the insurance industry every single day.
Mary Madeline, the Republican strategist, said something that I thought was very honest right at the end of the health summit. After 7.5 hours, when the president gave his closing statement, then they went to various analysts and pundits on CNN, and Mary Madeline said, the difference between the two parties is Democrats think health care is a right, Republicans think health care is a responsibility. Would you put it that way?
Well, I do think that that is a dividing line here. I think that when when we talk about the 45 to 50 million uninsured Americans, to some degree, there's an inescapable moral element to this that many we Democrats believe that it's our obligation to provide them better health care. But it is certainly true that the Republican Party believes as a group, and maybe not everyone, but certainly it seems that everyone in Congress believes that the market is the only tool that you can use to provide health care. And fundamentally, Democrats disagree with that. We believe that the marketplace is always going to seek to not provide care to anyone who's expensive, not to provide care to anyone who doesn't have a lot of money. And that is a rare moment of honesty, I think she expressed.
Congressman Anthony Weiner reporting in after the health summit last week. And as Democrats try to figure out how to proceed, we can take a few phone calls for Congressman Weiner, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. The New York Post took you on about this wholly owned subsidiary on its editorial page this morning. I don't know if you read that yet. It calculated that over the course of your career, you have received $20,000 in campaign funding from insurance companies, $92,000 from Wall Street firms, $122,000 from doctor and hospital associations, and more than $600,000 from unions. So are you a wholly owned subsidiary of them?
You left out, they also said I took money from veterinarians. I don't know what.
That was one of the doctor groups in that 122.
Look, you know, I have tried to call it as I see it on this. You know, I think that indeed the health insurance industry is not doing anything wrong and immoral. They're a business. They're supposed to try to take in as much money as they can, pay out as little as they possibly can. The question is, should we in government empower them to keep doing that and to keep doing it in kind of an unfettered way? I believe in a single-payer system. I believe in expanding Medicare to cover more Americans. But there are going to be some times that people agree with me and sometimes that they disagree with me. But I can tell you this, if healthcare is successful, our taxes are going to go down here in New York City. More people are going to get covered. The three hospitals that closed in Queens will have a chance to reopen. I know what's good for my city, and I'm not sure that the New York Post editorial board is going to disagree with
me. Well, do you want to say something in general about the relationship of corporate and union campaign donations to you or anyone else?
Well, I don't look, there are going to be times there have been times that people have given me that there have been campaign contributions that I've gotten from organizations that liked me for a moment and then I did something later on that they didn't like. I assume that people give me money because they think two things, either that I'm doing a good job or they want me to keep fighting for New York. I'm not seeking to vilify the insurance industry. I do think, though, that people who stand up in Congress and fight every single day for the insurance industry should be called out.
Larry on the East Side, you're on WNYC with Congressman Anthony Weiner. Hello.
Good morning, Brian and Anthony.
Good morning, Larry.
First of all, I'd like to applaud you, Congressman, for that speech that I heard. Secondly, I'd like to urge you and Brian both to start delving in publicly to the exact amounts that our elected representatives are getting and from what industries so that we the public can connect the dots and see so-and-so is getting so much from which company and so-and-so is getting so much from which other company. And I'd like to
and
see
it's
that.
Out there. It's out there from, you know, we've talked about it on the show with respect to various people. The Center for Responsive Politics has a great website on this, so that's accessible. The New York Post put particular figures for Congressman Weiner that on its editorial page today that we just cited. Larry, do those disturb you at all about him?
The fact that he's willing to speak out about it, I don't know. I'd like to, what we next need to do after understanding the money is then do a correlation with their voting records and with the people who are donating to them.
Larry, thank you very much. Steve, in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Anthony Weiner. Hello.
Hi, Congressman. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
What I'd like to know is that with the Democratic victory last year in Congress and the overwhelming majority that Congress has, and the fact that most Americans truly want some health care reform, what is the problem with the Democrats getting their message across? Why are the Republicans seemingly, you know, getting the marketing clout here?
Well, look, it's a good question, one that vexes us every day. I think, one, we've made some mistakes, and I think the president's made some mistakes. I think that we have chosen a more complicated formulation than we should have. We should have said, look, Medicare works. Let's expand it. It's for 65. Let's expand it further. Plain and simple, Medicare popular program. Let's expand it. So for one thing, we started with a kind of a reinforcing of the employer-based model that's a little bit more complicated. A second thing that we did is we somehow stipulated to the idea that you need 60 votes, which was never constitutionally required, never something the Founding Fathers envisioned. And what it did is it led us into a place, you remember, let's wait for the Gang of Six to come up with some Republican votes. Let's wait for Olympia Snowe to come around. Let's wait for Joe Lieberman and his various personalities to decide what he wants. And what wound up happening is that message of who the 60th vote would be lost about 200 million Americans in this discussion.
But now it's so politically toxic, or at least the Republicans are trying to make it so, and the American people seem to be listening. If you bypass the filibuster with the so-called reconciliation process and do it with 51 votes in the Senate, can you not lose a lot of seats in the fall on people's belief anyway that it's an undemocratic small D process?
Well, this is the problem. When I have people stopping me in C-Town on Austin Street and asking me about reconciliation, I know that this discussion has gone off the tracks. Look, the way to put this, and I think one of the things that the president sought to do in his summit was to set up the idea that we're a majority rule country. And this has passed a majority in the House. It's got a majority in the Senate. I don't think anyone on election night said, okay, we now should let each individual senator have a veto on anything that we do. So I think that the president, who I have been somewhat critical of his messaging this, I think now can really help by reinforcing the idea that this is a 51-vote plan that he's put on the table, and the American people like it.
Is it even going to get a majority in the House? That seems to be very much in question. It only passed by 5 votes in the first place. Congressman Murtha died. A few other seats have changed. Lots of blue dog Democrats voted no the first time, and the president's unified bill is more expensive than the original House bill, so why will they vote for it now?
Well, at first, it's not clear yet what the cost will be. We haven't actually seen, for all the talk about the president's bill, we haven't actually seen one. It's going to be very difficult. You know, whenever you get these close margins, and we see this up in the state Senate, whenever you get these close margins, all it takes is 5 or 6 people getting together in a room and say, hey, let's bring this train off the tracks, and here are our demands. It's difficult. But Nancy Pelosi has done what I think Harry Reid in the Senate has not done. And she said, look, we're going to have these debates. We're going to have these amendments. We're going to fight for what we believe in and try to get as good of a bill as possible. I think we're going to be able to do it. The one thing I would say is that I would hope that the anti-choice elements of our caucus wait and do that in a separate, we may have to have that debate as a group and as a Congress, but don't do it in health care. There are concerns about immigration reform that I share, that I want to do separately also. There are a lot of tough issues, but I think we'll ultimately get it done.
One more call. Susie in the Village. Susie, you're on WNYC.
Hi,
with Anthony Weiner.
I want to thank Anthony Weiner first for his coming out for single payer in the first place and introducing or trying to introduce that bill. But it's time for the Democrats to stand up for something honest and insist on a strong public option or not vote for it, because frankly, this is just giving cover to God knows what. It shoves everybody into these god-awful insurance companies who will find a way to screw everybody unless there's a public option.
Susie, thank you. And you once said on this show, Congressman, that you would not vote for the Senate bill as it originally passed because it was too conservative with no public option, for example, and it does seem to be basically the Senate bill that's being dropped in your lap. Will you definitely vote for it now?
Well, it's actually not going to be the Senate bill. The Senate bill, this is what the notion of reconciliation is all about, is what additional things you do to improve the Senate bill. Look, this is the tough question we have right now. Do we want to vote no on a bill that's going to expand coverage to 50 million Americans, create a public exchange? The public option that existed had been watered down far from the ideal that I had originally had. I'm not prepared to say I'm going to vote no on it, but I do think we need to start almost immediately on keeping this energy for the public option moving forward, and we should try to pass it freestanding if it doesn't pass as part of this bill. But it's a very tough question that your caller raises, and that is whether we who care about things like a public option and single payer should walk off the reservation. I'm not prepared to say we should do that.
In our last 30 seconds, your reaction to the Ethics Committee report on Congressman Rangel. Talk about corporate donations. It found that he took a trip to the Caribbean funded by corporations in violation of House ethics rules. Should he step down as chairman of Ways and Means?
I don't think he should step down. I mean, look, it is clear that this was a finding that was kind of unusual. A group of people that had the same trip all had been approved by the Ethics Committee. One was singled out. I think Charlie Rangel's service to our country and as a veteran, service to our state, service to our city, deserves that we should see in the fullness of time what exactly the conclusions of the Ethics Committee are.
Congressman Anthony Weiner, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The Brian Lehrer Show continues.